com with Diana Ross and the Supremes. It is now 8:29 and 47 degrees in downtown Fairhope. At least the sun's shining and we're loving the cool weather, but I saw the long-term forecast, and we'll hear it from John Nodar in a minute. 70s during the day and around 60 at night, so not a cold Christmas, but we're used to that by now. And we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio on an unusual day because the city council meeting was moved. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Lori.
Thank you for my lovely ornament.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I like the way that you have changed them up. Yes. For many years, just so y'all know, that the city of Fairhope gives out Christmas ornaments to people that have assisted and served with
Correct.
A little note, thank you for serving, very sweet. And for many years, it was, you know, the round basic ornament. And I love your take on it.
Yes.
Ceramic.
So last year, Tom Jones Pottery did the city seal. And
right.
this year, Susan Hanner is the artist. And she's here local. She's from Fairhope, born and raised. And she did the clock. So happy we're able to continue that tradition. But I just, you know, I love the new ones because you're able to use them all year long, not just as an ornament.
That's true. That's a good point. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. As we mentioned, Fairhope City Council met on Wednesday, yesterday, instead of on Monday. Anything from the mayor's report you would like to mention? And forgive me, I didn't watch it on YouTube. I often do before our interview, and I did not.
Well, you missed a lot, Lori.
Oh, did
no,
I?
No, okay. You did not. Really, there was no report either from myself or from the council. We just basically said Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and let people know about the New Year's celebration.
Okay, so tell us about the New Year's celebration.
Okay, so of course, we're bringing back the New Year's celebration this year. So on New Year's Eve, we will have a street party in downtown. We have rented some tents, but we're encouraging people to come out and bring their lawn chairs, you know, come out, just sit in the street, listen to the band.
The tents are for private groups or individuals to rent from the city.
Correct.
And
so they can rent those. A lot of times it's neighborhood groups or churches or businesses who rent it and just invite clients in.
Yeah, and they have food and put a heater in there if it's cold. Yeah, okay.
And typically if people are walking down the street, they don't mind if people kind of wander
in.
It doesn't really matter. They just kind of open up the tents. But we do encourage people, if you don't have a tent, please bring your lawn chairs. Come down, you know, sit or stand. Visit one of the restaurants. Most of the restaurants are open. Obviously, you need to check to see if you need reservations, but we really do encourage people just to come out and enjoy the band, and there's children's activities and fireworks at midnight.
And the band, I know bands are a little pricey on New Year's Eve anyway. Did they come? Is this the same one back from New Orleans, or do you know anything about this?
This is
band?
A different one.
Okay.
It's a different one, but I'm not sure where they're out of, but
okay.
Really good, like a variety band, like
right.
a cover band.
Y'all have done a great job picking out fun bands in the past.
They're always really good and
okay.
really enjoy just, you know, the ball drops at, you know, at midnight.
And that, most of that is still going to be basically at the corner of Church and Fairhope Avenue.
It is at Church and Fairhope Avenue. And just for people who are coming into town, Church of Magnolia will be open. We will have this open so people can access the parking garage by New Year's Eve.
Wow.
Lori's looking out there
I'm looking at all of the big heavy equipment and the holes in the street. So
but we are going to have some good weather next week,
okay.
and they've told us they really believe they're getting that open, so we're excited about that.
That's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
Because the Church Street Infrastructure Project, which is going on in front of us now on North Church, is traveling all the way to Fells.
It is.
So it eventually will close Church and Fairhope Avenue and then Delamar and Morphy.
The good thing about it is that it's going to start moving a little bit faster now because there's the lines. Obviously, when we open up the streets, we find old infrastructure. We find things that we didn't even know were there. So, but we really feel like moving forward that it's going to start moving quicker. And we've started sending the gas contractor ahead of the heavy equipment to help with some of the things, the issues that we were having before.
Right.
So we think that is speeding up the process as well.
It's so interesting to take a look at it. I was talking with, I suppose, the supervisor lady that's like supervising.
Yes. She's actually working on communications.
Okay.
And her and Jessica with the city work together to make sure we're communicating with everybody and they, you know, go ahead and talk to folks and let them know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Especially the merchants here.
Correct.
Well, it's interesting because we were standing there talking because there are some holes in the ground that are 10, 12 feet deep.
They are.
And I was noticing how interesting it is. You don't think about what's under the road when you drive on it. And I said, there's actually looks like a stack of bricks over there. She said, oh, that's an old manhole. Mm-hmm. The manholes used to be surrounded by bricks.
That's right.
And now they're concrete encased mm-hmm. in these concrete boxes.
Right.
And then she explained to me, you know, how one color was sewer, one color was water, that's one right. color was wastewater mm-hmm. or drainage.
Right.
Anyway, it was really interesting.
It is. And again, this is one of those projects where when you open up the street, you want to fix everything you can at that time.
Sure, because it's going to be another 50 years.
Correct. So that's what we're doing. But you don't know what you're going to find when you open it up, when you have, you know, infrastructure as old as Fairhope does. And, you know, this is infrastructure that was put in when Fairhope was, you know, first, these streets were first put in. So, it's been interesting and slow.
I know, and can be frustrating, but we have signs up, sidewalks are open, and so far, parking garage access has been,
and that's our
has
goal,
still been available too.
Just to maintain that.
Okay. We had two final adoptions mm-hmm. of two properties annexing into Fairhope. One was the Hilltop PUD. On Section Street at Petoil Drive. I asked you that last time. It's out section further. What's it near?
Battles War?
What's it near?
No, it's through the intersection at Twin Beach and Section. So if you're there at the Pirate Pit and go past the Pirate Pit, mm-hmm. it's going to be right there on your right.
Oh, okay. So then that's going to be a new development. Have they said what planned unit development? Is it going to be apartments, houses?
No. It's houses. It's single family. And actually, it's almost, they're coming in as a PUD now, the annexation, but it's already building out.
Okay.
So it's a beautiful development. They've done a really good job with it.
Oh, I haven't been out that direction lately. Okay,
they're doing
good.
Doing a good job.
Also, final adoption to amend and rezone property at 181 and 104. So that fills that corner up with lots of development now, doesn't it?
And that's the Publix that's going in there.
Okay.
So really,
okay.
really glad to be able to have that annexation, because that's a great, you know, revenue stream for the city. And, you know, really, really appreciate them doing that and coming on into the city.
And for those that haven't heard this before, being in the city limits is better than being out of, because the city has more control and can generate more revenue.
That's right.
Okay. What's going on with the personnel rules, policies, and procedures? I see there's been some final adoption on some ordinances concerning mm-hmm. that. Now, I wasn't sure what that's about.
So there are two adoptions of ordinances that we revised. One was the travel policy. The travel policy was fairly loose. With the city as stated in the handbook. And so we just kind of buttoned that up and added some more provisions. Things like, you know, a cap on what you can spend on meals. You know, if you're within a certain mile distance, if you can stay overnight. Some of that kind of stuff that's typical in travel policies,
right.
But Fairhope did not address that. So it really takes the guessing out of it for employees who are going to travel. They know what they're allowed to spend. They know that, you know, if they need, they're encouraged to take a city vehicle. If they don't, you know, what they can be reimbursed if they want to take their spouse with them and extend mm-hmm. their time. So it just covered a lot of different things. The other one was about certifications. Obviously, we have a lot of employees who get CDLs or building inspector certifications or master gas fitters or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And in our handbook, the only thing that was addressed is if you get a CDL, you get a pay increase, and if building inspectors can get a pay increase. So we changed that so anybody who wants to get a certification that is deemed necessary for their job and it's approved by their supervisor and myself, then they can get anywhere from 50 cents to a dollar increase. But if we have to pay for training for every $100 that we spend, they have to insure us certain months of service.
Okay.
So I think that's going to be very beneficial. And we also put a cap on it. You can only do 2 certifications a year, and you can only do 10 in your career with the city. So we don't want people just using that as a way to, you know, continue to get pay increases.
Okay. All right. And then we had a couple of, I love the way that the municipality, the city, is utilizing grants, and those are very important, because it saves the city a lot of money. Number 9 is requesting an LDOT grant of basically $250,000 to resurface 2 miles of County Road 13 from Morphy to the southern city limits.
So with the gas tax, when the gas tax went into effect in the state of Alabama, there were some things that we got an appropriation straight from the state for resurfacing and for roads, and we were able to apply for ATRIP 2 grant funding, which that's what we used to do the Twin Beach improvements, and what we're going to be using to hopefully do some Volana improvements. And then this is the Rebuild Alabama, and this is going to be, this is 100% grant. We have to do the engineering and have to do a few other things, but there's no match to this grant. So we can apply for it and hopefully get it. We've applied before, but we applied for sidewalks. And after we got denied, we went back and kind of looked at what other people were applying for, other mm-hmm. municipalities, and it seemed to be resurfacing. And this is a road that needs to be resurfaced, and it meets all the qualifications of the grant. So we're going to apply and see if that happens for us.
Very good. Number 10, authorizing the submission of an HMGP grant to AEMA, requesting grant funds to purchase and install generators at critical facilities. Total estimated cost $551,000. City of Fairhope matching funds $183,000. So what about $750,000 for generators?
For generators. It's 14.
Whole building generators?
They're for lift stations. And if I'm not mistaken, I think there's 11, okay. 11 generators and then 3 bypass pumps for lift stations. One of our goals, we're actually applying also for a restore grant to do this too, is to outfit all of our lift stations with generators.
Yes, because it's driven me crazy when I report a sewer spill because there was a power outage.
Correct.
Really?
Correct.
Really?
But we have 79 lift stations right now, about to be 80. So when you're doing that, it's a huge cost. So this is a hazard mitigation grant that became available because of Sally, and this is the same grant that we're also utilizing to build a safe room. And so this is the second step in that process.
But if I understood you correctly, 11 generators mm-hmm. for over $700,000?
Yes. They're expensive.
This isn't just the kind of generator we have at our house for a hurricane.
No, it's not. Okay. No.
All right. 11 cloud-based storage as backup for the IT department. Some of this is just budgeted things
it
that
is.
Y'all have to do every year. $55,000. Boring an installation of fiber from the City Services and Public Utilities building to the Pecan building from AMS Utilities, $18,600. Okay. Anything else on? Oh, wait. Here's a big number. Mm-hmm. I like to ask about the big numbers.
Okay.
Number 15.
Mm-hmm.
The city council approves a negotiated price for bid number blah, blah, blah. North Summit Street Bank stabilization not to exceed $760,000.
Correct.
What is that?
So this is an NRCS grant, and it's a
What's that mean?
it's a natural resource conservation. I don't know
okay.
what all the acronyms
all
are,
right,
but
thank you.
It basically helps us. It's going to help stabilize that bluff right there at near Summit and in Church, or Summit and Oak, that one that runs right there along the treatment plant. So there's about 5 or 6 houses from Summit Street that back up to that gully. And
the new ones that were built almost in the gully.
Correct.
Why are we paying for that erosion instead of the developer that built in the gully?
Well, we're not paying for all of it.
Oh, so, why are we paying for any of it? They built in the gully.
So there are, it's eroded over time. I mean, there are a few there that have eroded over time that they are in fear of losing their structures because of erosion.
Imagine that. They built in a gully. It's going to erode. I can't believe we're spending that kind of money for that.
Well, it's a grant. So, again, we're not spending all of it. And this is we're hoping this is going to be somewhat of a partnership with the homeowners, the city, and also single tax. So
hoping it will be a part. So have we talked to the homeowners and the developers about that?
We have been talking with them.
What kind of reception have you gotten?
It's been okay. It's been good. I mean, they know something has to be done. But this NRCS grant is the same grant that we've also used. If you go to our Facebook page, you can see the project that we also did at Quill Creek. Typically, these are going to be things that are related to, you know, drainage and erosion, those kind of things. And we had an issue at Quill Creek. So, you know, excited to be able to do this project. It won't be the last gully that we're having to stabilize, but
can it be the last gully someone is allowed to build in?
That was
That was before your time. You can say that.
I didn't say that, but yes.
I did.
I would not disagree, but there are several homes there that did not build on the gully, and the gully is getting inching closer and closer to their homes. They didn't, you know, that was not their intent when they built. Some of those houses have been there for a while.
Right, right.
So, okay. You know, you hate for them to lose their home to this, especially when there is federal money that is available that you can apply right. for to mitigate some of this stuff.
I apologize for being so hard on you about that, but that's just, you know, when I read these agendas and see these huge dollar amounts, I'm going to ask about it.
And you should.
And sometimes it's going to frustrate me.
You should, yes, and I understand.
Thank you. Resolution number 16. The Fairhope City Council gratefully accepts the deed of gift for River Mill Park from the Fairhope Single Tax Corporation to the city. So they're donating more land to the
city.
They are.
This is a green space that's right on 48 or Fairhope Avenue Extension, right past Walmart at the entrance to the River Mill subdivision. Single Tax has gone in there and kind of leveled that area out, did about $100,000 worth of improvements, and is turning it over to the city. As most everybody knows, a lot of the development is moving east of town. So in that intersection there, there's the Aldis that are coming in. You have Walmart. Walmart has donated land for a police precinct that will probably build out in the next 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
This property is just adjacent to that precinct. And plus, there's another development just north of it. So there's several developments around there that will really benefit from this green space. So we're excited to be able to provide like a pocket park, you know, east of town. And I think it's going to be a great benefit to some of those neighborhoods along there.
So when you say a pocket park, so could there be a development as far as playground equipment?
There can be. There's plenty of space there.
Okay.
I will tell you that's
it's not a drainage retention pond.
I was going to say there is some area that's wet there, but they have done a really good job of building that floodway up
right.
with rocks and stuff so people can delineate that. And there is a higher portion of that land that stays, you know, pretty dry. So that would be the area that if we're going to put play equipment or picnic tables or anything like that we would utilize that area.
Okay. Good. I saw a headline on TV station article, and then I saw it in the Courier. Bump outs planned to slow speeders in Fairhope. City officials are working on plans to slow traffic on several streets where residents have reported drivers going twice the speed limit.
Right. That's on Ingleside, on North Ingleside, and also on Mershon. So those went to the traffic committee, and there were some recommendations there. You know, they decided based on expert, you know, advice that they would not try to use more stop signs or speed bumps, but to look for some alternative to really slow the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at some of the streets in Fairhope, a lot of the times when you specifically like look at the trees, like the medians that have trees planted, a lot of times you take those medians, you pull them out, you put green space in, it narrows the roadway, so it creates an area where people have to slow down.
Right.
It's approved traffic calming device, those bump outs are. So we're looking to see. We haven't made any firm decisions yet. We're going to be talking to the residents, probably revisiting with the police and the traffic committee to see if that's a good alternative in those areas. We do know that there is a lot of speeding in town. You've probably seen the speed trailer out, and I've seen the police out a lot mm-hmm. in the past several weeks. So we just need people to slow down. And people are distracted. They're driving too fast, and you know we're putting out those traffic counters, and we can tell how many people you know are driving
the
on these
number,
roads. And
the numbers are astounding.
They are.
I believe I saw the lady that talked to represent North Ingleside, and I've seen the traffic studies the chief has told us about. Thousands of cars in a week.
Yes, like 17,000 cars
yeah.
in a week. Yes, it's crazy. And again, the speeding is what, and you have kids on these streets, you have sidewalks, you have kids riding bikes, you have people out walking. People just really need to slow down. And if we can figure out a way to put some beautification on those streets and to narrow the roadway to help do that, that's what we're going to be looking to do.
Okay. And here's another headline in the Courier we've addressed briefly just because it's on the front page of the newspaper. Let's address it again mm-hmm. real quick. Fairhope crews battle water main breaks. If you have the city app, it seems like almost daily or at least a couple of times a week, we're notified of another water main break. What's
yes.
going on there?
You know, a lot of it is there's several times where contractors have hit the lines. I can think of four just right off the top of my head in the past several weeks where contractors have hit the lines. And other times it is just, you know, an active, I guess, nature.
Aging
infrastructure, and it just happens. We do have a couple water outages planned for the next several weeks. You know, we're notifying residents of those, but, you know, will impact small, you know, a small group of people. But we try to do our best to make sure we don't inconvenience anybody with those water outages. But unfortunately, they take a lot of time to repair. I know we had one recently that was actually under a state right away under a storm drain. It took them like 36 hours to repair.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, it was a long time. They actually had to do that in shifts because they had, you know, people had been up all night working on it. So these projects are not easy. It, just like you were saying, you go out and you look at the road open.
Look what's underneath
yes.
the pavement.
Yes.
It's quite amazing. And
it
most
is.
Of us will see it as the Church Street infrastructure mm-hmm. project continues. But, well, what about the other projects to take care of those water mains, which are generally outside of the city limits,
they
most
are.
Of them, but they're still in our utility map, our
they
footprint.
Are. They are. And you know, Jason Langley with the water department, they're doing a great job of looking at those problem areas that we're having and going back in and putting maybe some ductile iron pipe in versus doing the plastic pipe. You know, for a long time, there was a plastic pipe that people were using, and it's just, you know, it's reached its age limit. So we're having to go back in and replace sections, and we know there are some larger projects that are going to have to be done.
Recently, the city announced a new employee, Jade.
Jade Fleming.
Tell us about that.
So Jade is the new electric superintendent. Jade comes to us from Georgia Power. He was actually from Alabama. He was with Troy for almost 17 years and then went to work for Georgia Power for 14 years. And so really excited to have him and his family in Fairhope and, you know, running the electric department. I think he brings a wealth of knowledge and will be a great addition to our team.
Okay, welcome to him. Meanwhile, you're still hiring several positions, including a city planner.
Mm-hmm. We still have one opening for a city planner. We have hired one city planner, and then we have a second opening.
Okay. And that's essential.
It is, especially right now. With the moratorium and with, you know, the moratorium went into effect on the 22nd.
Yesterday.
So, it's really, you know, important that we get fully staffed and that we're able to do the things that we want to do during this moratorium to make sure that we, you know, streamline our processes, to make sure we are, you know, being good communicators of our rules and regulations, that we update that zoning. There's a lot of things that need to happen in the next year.
And like you said, become proactive instead of
reactive. Absolutely. That's my main goal.
That's important.
And again, I want to make sure all of our rules and regulations are firm, they're fair, they're in black and white, and that people know that we're gonna hold them to following them, and that this is what they are, and there's no coming back and negotiating that. And I think for a long time, people who have developed in Fairhope have looked for the gray areas, and I want to be really careful that there's not a lot of gray area, that they are very clear on the rules and that they follow them.
That's good to hear. Meanwhile, the moratorium is give us a brief overview of what the moratorium did.
The moratorium basically the council approved that on, I believe it was the 13th of December. There was a seven day window or a advertising period, and then on the 22nd it went into effect. And that means that you can no longer, subdivisions or MOPs, which is multiple occupancy projects, outside the city limits, that you can no longer submit those applications, and even if you're planning to annex in. So, you know, and there's a lot of people who have been upset about developments like on Pierce Road or on Lawrence Road. I mean, unfortunately, they did have a 7-day window to be able to get those projects in, and some of those are going to already be, you know, in the hopper. So, you know, I do think that this is going to help, but some of those more controversial projects, I think people are going to still be upset that they could possibly happen.
Right, because they've already been submitted.
Right. Okay. And actually, I think the Lawrence Road development was submitted even before the moratorium, even before it was enacted. I think it was probably the day before they had went ahead and turned in their completed application.
It was my understanding they turned it in the morning of the city
Maybe
council
it's
meeting.
Okay.
But that the vote was yes. taken, but still you had more time.
You did. You
had
another 7 days.
The
That's
law.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
That's correct.
All right. Anything else that you want to mention?
I don't think so. Just want to wish everybody, you know, a Merry Christmas. And, you know, I think 2021 has been challenging, but it's been a great year, and just really looking forward to 22 and all the great projects that we have in place. And just hope everybody enjoys time with their family and takes time to slow down and enjoy the beautiful city that we live in.
That's absolutely right. And I hope you get some time to relax
Thank you. I hope to.
Wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you, Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan, and I appreciate you taking the tough questions and letting me fuss about
Anytime.
The money you spend and see where it's going. Thank you so much.